So the best you can argue is Rome is a daughter harlot, but she's not a mother harlot. Rome absorbed the mother-child system into her borders and into her culture, but she is not the originator of it. The originator of it is the Tower of Babel on the plains of Shinar between the rivers. And so really that becomes the first building block for understanding the role of Babylon in the end times, because the devil did not like the fact that his project was disrupted here. So he has always worked in history to finish the job that God interrupted. And that's where history is headed. So that takes us really to a second stop on the bus ride to build a case that God in the end times is going to allow a literal Babylon into existence. And the second stop on this bus ride is the prophecies of Isaiah and Jeremiah. So take a look, if you could, at Isaiah chapter 13, around verse 6. Isaiah 13 and 14. And notice what Isaiah says here. He's describing the fall of Babylon. He analogizes it to the day of the Lord, verses 6 through 9. He analogizes it to cosmic disturbances, verses 10 through 13. He analogizes it to global judgment when Babylon falls, as he's giving prophecies about Babylon's destruction. Verses 11 and 12, he says when Babylon falls, verse 19, she's going to fall exactly like Sodom and Gomorrah. How did Sodom and Gomorrah fall? Not gradually, but instantaneously through the judgment of God. When Babylon falls, she'll never be rebuilt again. Verses 20 through 22 of chapter 13. And the world is going to enjoy universal peace and rest because the kingdom will have come to the earth. Verses 5 through 8. And Israel will be regenerated at that time. Verses 1 through 4. Notice very specifically Isaiah chapter 13. And notice, if you will, verse 10. Isaiah chapter 13 and verse 10. This is talking about what is going to happen when Babylon falls. For the stars of heaven and their constellations will not flash forth their light. The sun will be dark when it rises, and the moon will not shed its light. It's talking about interstellar activity when Babylon falls. This has to be something that has never happened. Jesus in Matthew 24, verse 29, when he was talking about the future, said virtually the same thing, didn't he? In Matthew 24, 29, Jesus said, "But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will become darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken." It sounds an awful lot like what Isaiah is saying. If Christ is speaking of a future event there in Matthew 24, then Isaiah must be speaking of something futuristic as well. Notice, if you will, Isaiah chapter 13 and verse 12. God says, "When Babylon falls, I will make mortal man scarcer than pure gold." That sounds a lot like what Jesus says, doesn't he, in Matthew 24, verses 21 and 22. He talks about a time period when most of the human race is going to be wiped out. And he says, let me get you the exact words here. You know the verse as well. Matthew 24, verses 21 and 22. He says, "For there will be a great tribulation, such as not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever will. Unless those days be cut short, no life would be saved, but for the sake of the elect, those days would be cut short." See how we take that futuristically in Matthew 24? Well, Isaiah is saying the same thing. So Isaiah must be talking about something that has never happened in the history of mankind. And the context is the fall of Babylon. Now let's go over to the prophet Jeremiah just for a minute. Notice, if you will, Jeremiah chapter 51 And notice verse 8. Jeremiah 50 and 51 says that when Babylon falls, it'll be sudden destruction. Verse 8. Complete destruction. Verse 3 of chapter 50 in many verses. Chapter 51 and verse 26 says that when Babylon falls, the fall is going to be so severe that Babylon's building materials won't even be used again. When Babylon falls, Jeremiah 50 and verse 8 says, believers will flee. And the reason I'm bringing this up is many people say, well, these prophecies were fulfilled already. Well, when were they fulfilled? Some believe they were fulfilled when the Persians conquered the Babylonians in 539 BC. There's a chapter in your Bible that deals with that political sea change. Anybody know which chapter that is? It's the handwriting on the wall chapter, Daniel chapter 5. You see, Jeremiah was written about 680 BC. Isaiah was written a little earlier, about 740 BC. The historic fall of Babylon happened in 539 BC. And people think these prophecies have been fulfilled. But notice what it says. Believers will flee. Did Daniel flee when Babylon fell? No, he did not. Daniel continued, as you study the book of Daniel, continued to work on in the administration of Persia, first under Darius and under Cyrus. There was no catastrophic destruction in Daniel 5. Believers never fled. Was Israel regenerated? Jeremiah 50 and verse 2 and many other verses talk about that. Israel was never regenerated at that time. She continued on in disobedience. What am I trying to say? I am trying to say simply this. The prophecies of Isaiah and Jeremiah concerning the fall of Babylon have never happened. Unless you want to discard the details, as many people do. If you don't care about the details and you don't want a literal approach to the Bible, you can argue these have been fulfilled in a certain sense in 539 BC. But a literal interpretation won't allow you to do that. Here is Herodotus, a famous historian. Herodotus is writing within less than 100 years of Babylon's historic fall to the Persians in 539 BC. And look at how Herodotus describes how Babylon fell. He, that's Cyrus of Persia, conducted the river by a channel into the lake. And so he made the former course of the river passable by the sinking of the stream. When this had been done, the Persians who had been posted for this very purpose, entered by the bed of the river Euphrates into Babylon, the stream having sunk so far that it reached about the middle of a man's thigh. Those Babylonians who dwelt in the middle did not know they had been captured. This is the scene that's happening in Daniel 5 when Belshazzar, the last reigning king of Neo-Babylonia, is drinking out of the goblets. You remember the chalices that were in God's temple? They were partying as if there was no tomorrow. And Herodotus tells us that what was actually happening is the Persians had diverted the Euphrates, which allowed them to go under the walls of Babylon. You see, the Babylonians thought that they were indefensible because of these walls. The Persians went right under the wall. And they conquered the Babylonians without even a battle. What does the Bible say? We should take, if we're prideful, we should take heed, lest we fall. You can't get more prideful than what Belshazzar was doing in Daniel 5, and yet he was totally vulnerable to attack. Herodotus, the historian, tells us all about it. In fact, the Babylonians didn't even know they had been captured in 539 BC. There was no conflagration. There was no cosmic disturbances. There was no destruction like Sodom and Gomorrah, as Isaiah and Jeremiah predicted earlier.